So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the guilt of tomorrow. I'm free from the fear of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that special. All freedom in Christ, amen. Would you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 4? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll ask, as our custom is, when you find your place there, if you'd stand to your feet with me as we read the scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 and 2 when you find your place there. Verses 1 and 2, I'll ask that you read that both of these verses with me out loud all together, pausing at the punctuation as appropriate. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 1. All right, if you're there, then let's all read this together. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word and how it's brought us together and how we're stirred because of it. Lord, thank you so much for the music and the giving, all the parts of the service that we've been able to be a part of thus far. But now we've come to the preaching, and we're trusting, Lord, that you're going to move in our hearts and give us something that we need. Lord, help us to change, become more like you. Lord, put your touch upon Pastor Becker this morning. Use him in a mighty way, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you keep your Bibles out for a moment as we look at the Word of God today, and I want to encourage you to bring a Bible to church. Amen? And to look in your Bible. God gave that to you. I want to encourage you to use it and turn there as we're able. And if we haven't said this in a while, but if you have a cell phone, if you could take a moment and turn that off or silent, that would be a blessing. And you can't go anywhere in life without hearing something dinging somewhere and going off. And it's helpful, but it's such a distraction, isn't it? And so just turn it off. I actually left my phone in the car before Sunday school. You ever do that? And you're like, I'm missing something. And like, you're just thrown off. Like the weight is thrown off on you, or I don't know. It's in my pocket. It's always in my left pocket. And I had to go back and get it because it just, something didn't feel right. I put it away, but you got to have it. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1 and 2. You see a word that's repeated twice in these two verses. And it says, and the word is a steward. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is the manager of a household or of household affairs for another. Have you ever lent something of yours and let someone else borrow a tool or your vehicle or something or your house, and when you came back, it was not in the same form and fashion that you lent it to them? And there's a new scratch on that car that wasn't there before, and someone was not a good steward of the vehicle that you lent them. Now, I see eyes going on around here. I don't want to get anyone in trouble today, all right? Let's confess our sins before church starts. All right, good. Don't think evil of another in church. You lend them a tool, and it comes back, and it was straight before, and now it's all jagged and torn up. You know, guys, if you have a tool, those are important to you, all right? The right tool for the right job, and it doesn't come back right, and it's all messed up, and you think, what? They weren't a good steward of what you gave to them. I was taught this as a boy by my dad. If someone lends something to you, you give it back to them in as good of condition as they gave it to you, if not better, right? You want to give it back even better. Say it was dirty when I got it. We'll give it back clean. It's not yours. You're giving back something, and they were lended something to others. I don't know about you, but I get nervous borrowing from other people. You know, I'm like, it's probably not going to break when they have it. It's going to break when I get it, right? They could use it all day long, and I get them like, ah, man, I don't think it was my fault, but now I feel like I've got to fix it now, you know? I don't want to send it back to them bad. The Bible says we're supposed to be stewards of God, a steward of the mystery of God, and it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, that you're given something by God to be used not just as you think it should be used, but how God wants you to use it. Amen? Many times we think, well, I'm using my life the best that I know how. Well, why not do it the best that God expects from you? Because our life has been lent to us by the Lord. The Bible says you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. You were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are whose? They're God's, amen? And so the life that I have has been given to me by God. The salvation that I have has been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. So everything that I have is God's to be used for God's purpose. And I'm a steward of what God has given to me. In Matthew chapter 25, we see the parable of the kingdom of, it's a parable of the kingdom of heaven about a master that goes into a far country, and he called his servants to him. And as he called the servants to him, he gave to one 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1. He gave them different talents according to what the master advised or thought that they should have. And so he passed out those talents he gave to them, and he went on his journey. And guess what? When he goes on his journey, he wants to come back, and what he gave to his stewards, to his servants, he wanted to come back and find that they cared for that properly. And as he went about, the one that had the 5 traded, and he got another 5 talents, and he doubled that. The one that had the 2, he went back, and he traded that, and he ended up with 2. And the one that had 1, he digged a hole in the earth, and he buried it. He didn't want to lose it. He was scared of ruining what he was given, and he was lent by his master. And when the master came back, he came to the one that had 5, and he brought it to him, and he said, Master, I brought another 5. And he said, well done, the good and faithful servant. The next one came, and he brought the 2, and he said, I have the 2, and then an extra 2 on top of that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But then there's that one that took what God had given to him. Although it was less than what the master had given to the others, he took that and he dug a hole in the earth, and he did nothing with what he was given. Nothing. He buried it. He did nothing with it. Didn't use it. He was an investment given to him by his master. The master thought that he had an ability. He had something that he could use for him, but he gave him the 1. And he buried it and brought him back. And the master to this servant told him that he was an unfaithful, a wicked, and a slothful servant because he did nothing with what was given to him. Now, Christians, today we've been given so much by the Lord, haven't we? Amen? We've been given so much by God, but how many times do we take what God has given to us and we do what we want with it, right? This is what I want to do with my life instead of this is what God wants me to do with my life. See, we're stewards of something that God has given to us that God expects when He returns, right? When God is checking back to how are you doing with what I have given to you? a steward of your life, a steward of the life that God has given to you. Only when life so soon will pass, only what's done for Christ will last. Many people are wasting their life, living each and every day to its fullest, so it seems. They're living it all for themselves, and when they enter into eternity, what will they have to show for their lives? First of all, are you even saved? Are you saved? God gave you life, but that does not guarantee your eternity in a place called heaven. Just because God has given you life, that God died for you, doesn't give you a home in heaven. You must accept Jesus Christ as your only way to heaven. As the choir sung about it, only the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. That's the only way anyone will enter heaven, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. What are you doing with the life that God has given to you? What are you doing with the family that God has given to you? What are you doing with the finances, the possessions that God has given to you? You say, no, they're mine. They're mine. No, they're God's. Amen? They're God's. We're a steward of what God has given to us. What are you doing with the church that God has given to you? Too many times we take what God has given and we bury it. We set it aside or throw it away and say, God, I have better plans than what you have for me. The Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement that God would come and he would want to find you faithful. You know this today. It's hard to find someone that is faithful today. Someone that you can trust in. Someone that's going to be honest. Someone that's going to work hard. Someone that's going to love the Lord and follow God. It's hard to find that person today. But God said for a true steward, a servant, it's required that you be found faithful. I'm going to give you a few thoughts today about stewarding your life. Stewarding your life. Looking at your life properly. A good steward sees everything that they have as the Lord's. A good steward sees everything that you have as God's. And I think about that with your children. And children are very possessive about their things. Have you noticed that? And they don't want anyone touching it, looking at it, or maybe even thinking about it because it's theirs, right? You have those kids, some kids, that they're willing to share anything with you. And others, like you couldn't buy it for $1 million. They're not selling it to you because it's theirs. And many times as Christians today, we look at our lives and we think, well, it's all mine, and we hide it. We want to keep it to ourselves. And when we realize that everything that I have is the Lord's. Everything that I have is God's. Why? Because God gave it to me to begin with. 100% of what you have has come to you by God. So you look at it as a possession. As a possession. Is it the possession of yours or is it a possession of God's? See, the Bible says God gave it to you to be a steward. And understand this, that God gave it to you and God can take it away as well. We think, well, if I don't hold on to it and use it for myself, then I'm going to lose it. No, if you don't give it back to God, you're going to lose it. Look at everything. A good steward sees everything that you have as the Lord's. John 1, verse number 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that you see was made by the hand of an almighty God. Guess what? This all wasn't an accident. Something that came from nothing that ran into something else that came from nothing ran into each other, and all of a sudden we have an earth perfectly spinning on its axis. Exactly. That's not an accident. Things don't just accidentally collide into each other and you have a miracle. I've heard it said like this before, that you would take a Lego set that's all disassembled. I grew up on Legos. When I go back home, they still have the same bin of Legos that I grew up on. You can't find all the pieces anymore, but that'd be like taking a Lego set and shaking it all together and saying it's going to come together like that perfect set that it was intended to be. You can shake it as much as you want. It's not going to turn out like you want, no matter how long you shake that thing. All things were made by him. Everything that you see was made by the hand of an almighty God. But yet too many times we think that we're bigger than God. Man thinks that they're smarter than God, and they come out with their scientific discoveries, and they're trying to prove their own existence. Well, the Bible says that all things were made by him. Everything that you have came from God. The Bible says in Romans 11, verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Let me read that again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Everything that we have comes from him or through his hands. I understand this is a good steward. I realize that everything that I have came from God. James 1:17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that comes into your life has come from the hand of God. Do you see that? Every good gift. God does not bring sin into your life. God does not tempt you with sin, but every good thing that has come into your life has come from the hand of God. It's interesting how many times that we don't give God the credit, so to say, or the thanks for the good things, but we blame him for the bad things, don't we? We don't thank him for the good things and say, God, well, this came from you. I thank you for it. I acknowledge it came from your hands. But when the bad things happen, God, why would you do that? And we question God and we doubt God. Every good gift has come from God. Remembering this, that God gave it to you and God can take it away again. Are you a steward of what God has given to you? Every breath of life that you have is given to you by the hand of God. Amen? Your salvation, your eternal security has been given to you by the hand of God. No one can earn that or work for it. Everything that you have, this church, your life, this country, your freedoms, we could go on and on. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. It shouldn't surprise us what God has done. Amen? If you see it properly, and if you thank God properly, you realize that everything has been given to you by the hand of God. Thank him for it. Praise him for it. Live for him, knowing it has come to you by the hand of God. A good steward, number one, wants to please God in every area of their life. Number one, a good steward sees everything they have as the Lord's. Number two is that a good steward wants to please God in every area of their life. A good steward wants to please their master, not because I have to, but because I want to. So as a Christian, if you don't continue reading your Bible and staying faithful to church and living for God, you're going to lose your salvation, right? Not going to happen. God's not going to take it away from you. Eternal security, once saved, always saved. Never taking it away, amen? But now that I'm saved, I don't have to live for God. I want to live for God, amen? I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to be a witness for God. I get to be a witness for God because I want to please God with my life. You say, oh, or else God's going to do something bad. Why do you serve God in your life? Do you serve God because of love or fear? You can serve God out of fear. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, or else he's going to correct me. And yes, he'll correct you. And he'll correct me. But you know what? Serving God out of love is the best way to live your Christian life. Not out of fear, not running from God, not because you have to do it or you're going to get in trouble, but because you want to. Because God loves you and he gave his life for you. And God has a plan for your life and has blessed you incredibly. And you say, if God gave me all this, why would I not want to give my life back to God? Too many Christians, it seems as if God is trying to pry your life away from you and saying, I want to do something good with it, like those two kids fighting over a toy and back and forth, you know, you give it to me, you give it to me. God's not going to take your life from you. You have to give it to him. You have to sacrifice, lay your life down for the Lord. Why? Because God laid his life down for you. He sacrificed his life for you so that you could have eternal life. So you could have the word of God and a church and God's blessings in your life. A good steward wants to please God in every area of their life. Say, are you perfect at it? Not a chance. Working at it. You want to please God with your life. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Everything that you do, do it heartily from the heart. Why? Because I love the Lord. Because I want to please God. Because God loves me so much, I want to show my love back to the Lord. Because God has given so much to me, I want to give so much back to God. Can you ever outgive God, church? No? Let's try that again. Can you ever outgive God? No. Can you ever be blessed by God too much? Say, God, I've had too many blessings today. Would you please stop? Too many blessings. You know, I need some bad things to happen today because you've been too good to me. I want more of God's blessings. That's dependent on your love and your obedience back to God. You want to please God with your life, not seeking to please yourself. Oh, there's a lot of people today that they're trying to please themselves. Guess what? You can never do enough in your life to please yourself, to make yourself happy, because you're that hard to please. Right? You're looking at your spouse. Yeah, you are that hard to please. No, I'm talking about you. And you're that hard to please. You can never make you happy enough. There's not enough ice cream or coffee or pizza or a round of golf. That sounds good though as well. There's not enough of that. You can do all of what you like enough and you'll never make you happy. You'll still want more. And you'll want more and you'll want more. You'll never please yourself trying to make you happy on your own. Guess what? You'll never please others enough either. If you do what you do because you're trying to please other people and to make everybody happy, you'll never make them happy enough because you can't please others enough because you can't satisfy them either. A good steward wants to please God and God alone. A good steward wants to please God. You can't please yourself and make you happy. You can't do enough for others to make everyone else happy with you, right? If I can't make me happy, how can I make everyone else happy? But if you can please God with your life, if God could be pleased and he would look down and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm pleased with your life today. Say, are you perfect today? No. There's not been a single day that I've lived my life perfect and God has been 100% pleased with my life. But every day I strive to please God with my life. I want to make God pleased with my life because that's what a good steward would do. First of all, today a good steward sees everything that they have as the Lord's. A good steward wants to please God in every area of their life. Thirdly, today a good steward wants to give back to God. A good steward wants to give back to God, not because you have to, but because you get to. You get to cheerfully and joyfully give back to what God has given to you. Remember this, how many things of what we have comes from God? Is it some or all? All. So everything that I have came from God, and God asks for some of your time back. God said, hey, I want you to be in church. I want you to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. And you say, but God, I have things that I want to do. God has given you life, and God is asking for some of that back. He said, I want you to be faithful to the house of God. Too many people treat church like they do with going to restaurants. You know what? I feel like having this today. And, you know, I'm in the mood for, should we even start listing it? It's almost lunchtime. I'm in the mood for Italian food or Mexican food or barbecue. Can I get a witness on the barbecue? Come on there. It's getting to that season right now. If you're not there, you're behind the times already. But to give back, and God has given us so much that we should want to give back to God. But we treat church like a restaurant. Like, what do I feel like today? What do I want today? Instead of realizing it's a command from God to be faithful to the house of God. Not taking a poll in the house. Do we feel like going to church today or do we not feel like going to church today? If it's a command from God, I don't need to find out who feels like it today. We're going to church today. Amen? I love going to church. I love getting ready and getting the family ready and coming here and praying and getting to be together with God's believers in the house of God, getting to hear the word of God. A good steward wants to give back to God of your time. God wants a good steward to give back of your treasures, of your money. Realizing this, you probably knew it was getting there at some point, but God has given us every dime that we have. The other day, I had the kids out front, and I was bribing the girls to throw sticks into the trash can. And I told them I bribed them to throw as many sticks in there as we can because we've got an oak tree with all these sticks falling down. They were having a good time, and I said, I'm going to pay you for helping me. And they were excited about that. And so I went in the house, and I found all the change in my little change bin right there, and I pulled out the change, and I split it up because it's got to be even. And I brought it out, and I said, here's the money for helping Dad to put all the sticks into the trash bin. And so they were excited about that. And Caroline looks up and says, "Dad, can we go to the store? Because I have money." It's like, that's like 75 cents. That'll buy you just about nothing. And I said, "You know what you can do with that money? You can buy something, but you should bring some of that and bring that to church so you can give back to God." I don't think they were excited about that, as buying stuff. Even the dollar store. You can't even go to the dollar store and buy anything anymore. Not even for a dollar. But what we have of our finances came to us from God, didn't it? I didn't get that job. God gave me that job. I didn't get that raise. God gave me that raise. I didn't get that gift. God gave me that gift. So everything that I have, God has commanded for us as Christians to give 10% of that back to God, and that is called the tithe. You say, "You're just trying to get rich as a church." No, we're not. But we want to be blessed by God, and when you give to the Lord, when you give to the house of God, to the work of God, and you are giving back your tithe, God will bless you for that. Because it's simply being obedient. Amen? And when you give back to God of your finances, God will bless you even more. You ever looked at your finances and you thought, "I don't have enough money to give this month into tithe"? You looked at that and you thought, "Man, it's tight." And it's been the water bill and the electric bill and the food bill and all the bills. Guess what? Nothing's getting cheaper. I don't know if you noticed that. It's getting more expensive. That's just the way things go. I'd love it if it would turn around. That would be a blessing. I'll take it. But guess what? I don't look at my finances and say, "I think it's going to work out this month to tithe." I can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford not to give back to God, because God is that spout of blessings that God is pouring out in my life. And when I don't give back to God, I don't tithe, give my offerings of what I am either commanded or promised to God, then God cannot bless me. You can't afford not to give back to God. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith," God says. He said, "Prove me." You say, I don't have enough to give. No. You don't have enough not to give, right? You don't have enough not to give back to God. God says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it." You think about that and you say, you don't have a money pouch big enough and say, if you give to God, and God's not going to bless you back. Now, let me stop here for a second. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, that if you give to God, that God's going to make everyone a millionaire. That would be a blessing, but it's not going to happen, all right? But God will bless you in more ways than just financially. You realize that? He'll bless you in more ways around your life and around your house. You ever notice there's always something that needs to be fixed? Something that needs money and attention and work? God can bless that, or God can curse that. God can bless it and take care of those problems and wipe that debt away and help you over here. God can do that if you're faithful and you're obedient to Him when it comes to your finances. Christian, today you want to be blessed by God, right? One of the ways you have God's blessings is with your finances, is with your money. This church is not trying to get rich, and we're not rich by any sense of the matter, but you want to be blessed by God. You want to give, and you want to be a part of the work of God, don't you? You can give to so many organizations around, and there's some other good organizations, but there is no better organization to give to than the work of God. The eternal work of God of seeing souls saved, reinvesting what God has given to us back into reaching souls for Christ. That's what the church is here for, to give back to God. A good steward wants to give back to God. A good steward loves their master. A good steward loves their master. See, that master, again, is caring for the household of another. If you love your master, if you love your God, you want to do anything that master wants you to do. It changes your spirit, doesn't it? That love issue, not because you have to, but because you want to. Do you love your master today? Do you love your God? Has God blessed you just a little bit today, or a whole lot? He's blessed a whole lot, hasn't He? And of what God has given to you, and He said, "I want you to take what I've given you and to use it for my purpose and for my glory." God can take what you have and use it way better than you can or I can. You take it and you give it back to God. A good steward, God has blessed you with much. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You want to be a good steward or a bad steward? It's your choice of what God has given to you. You want to be a good steward in here. Well done. Well done. I'm pleased with you. That child that's out on the baseball field or on the basketball court and they make the shot or they hit that ball, and what do? They look back for mom and dad. They're looking at someone cheering from them. I'm proud of you. Good job. Way to go. And when you're a good steward and you're using what God has given to you for His glory, and God's saying, well done. Way to go. Good job. I'm proud of you. A good steward or a bad steward. What God has given to you, how are you using it? What's your spirit? What's your attitude with that? What is your outlook with the blessings that God has given to you in your life? Head bowed and eyes closed, please, today. We didn't mention it much this morning, but the matter of your soul. Every single person here will